And Jesus said, "Blessed are the eyes which see the things that ye see." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We rejoice today that Jesus has brought us to see things that have not been seen, and we rejoice that he reveals to us the nature of the kingdom of heaven in this parable of the Good Samaritan. There are things that he shows us that we need to know in order to practice the faith, and we might remark, first of all, upon that man who was beat up and left for dead, that in the parable we see what the fathers of the church will say is a picture of our fallen humanity. So St. Augustine, for example, give an allegorical interpretation of the parable and say we see in the man that is robbed and then beaten and then is dying, we see a picture of our common humanity, of all of humanity. And we can reflect upon that because in the parable, that man is dying. St. Augustine would say he's been beat up by the devil and by sin. Now he is moribund. He is dying. And is that not the picture of our humanity too, that we have been beguiled by Satan, that we are now suffering the consequences of sin, which is death, that we are dying? And so this is shows the problem of our human race, that we have a problem that we cannot solve of our own. We don't have strength, just like the man left by the side of the road can't get up and walk and take care of himself. He has to be taken care of. So it is with our human race. We have to be saved. And thank God for such a mighty Savior as our Lord Jesus Christ, who in his humility has become one of us and suffered even the death of the cross, and rising up from the dead now gives to us the gift of eternal life. The promise that was given to Abraham has now been fulfilled in Christ. When God made covenant with Abraham, he promised that in his seed all nations would be blessed. And we see that in the life of Christ. He is the first of the fruits of the holy harvest. He shows where we will go. He rises from the dead, never to die again. His body is glorified and brought into a state where he will never experience death. So that promise is given to us. Now we are succored by the means of grace. We have the hope of glory and our end eternal life in Christ. And so we have a great blessing today in seeing in the parable the understanding of our situation and the remedy given by Christ, who is our Good Samaritan. We also see in the moral instruction of the parable that when the lawyer asks, "Well, who is my neighbor?" he's asking a very lawyerly question, not one of wisdom, but one of cunning, looking for the hole in the fence, looking for that exclusion, right? Well, who is my neighbor? And when Christ gives the parable of the Good Samaritan, we come to understand that the commandment to love is universal. There was no one outside the range of our love. And so, interestingly and pointedly, the rescuer is a hated Samaritan, but it shows that even the strange other we are to consider our brother in the commandment to love. So there's no one outside the range of this love. This is our gift and inheritance, that understanding this, we see all human life as sacred and precious. Every human being, an image bearer of God the Creator, and one for whom Christ has died. And so we treasure human life. We do not take it lightly. We protect it, we treasure it, and we have this understanding that we are to love others with this great commandment. Now, this not only applies to those who are distant and far off, those who we might regard as other, maybe even those that are despised by our culture, that our love can extend to them. It also has to do with those that are close. We can't forget that we're easily estranged from those who are close to us. And that is why the proper response that we have, the way that we pray today in the litany, includes language like, save us, O Lord, save us from envy, from hatred, from malice, from any uncharitableness. We are to guard and keep our hearts that we not become hardened toward those that are around us, that we continue to open out the grace that is poured into us that it might flow out to others. as we are now members of the kingdom, reborn from on high, now given a new life by the power of the Holy Spirit to fulfill the ministry of Christ in our own time and place. And so to illustrate this, how we are to love those even close to us, I'll tell a story that is an Appalachian tale. It's collected by Pleasant Despain in a collection of Appalachian tales, and it's about Old Joe and the Carpenter. So the story is about a farmer named Joe, who at the time of these events was known by everybody around him as Old Joe. And he lived across the way from his friend, who lived at the farmhouse across the way, across the creek, and then up a hill, and then was his neighbor. And they had known each other since before they could even remember. They played in the creek that went between their farms as kids. They used to walk together to the one-room schoolhouse. They had danced at each other's weddings. They had stood as godfather for each other's children. They had raised barns on each other's farms. They had wept at the funerals of each of their wives. They had gone through life together, and all was very close until one day they came into a disagreement. And the occasion was some cattle that had got into old Joe's bottomlands, and the neighbor and he began to discuss this. The discussion turned into an argument, and then it got heated, and Old Joe, his heart sank when he saw his close friend turn his back on him and walk away. And then everything fell into a frosty silence. As they were not talking to each other, things got cold. And in that frosty silence, their hearts hardened. Now, sometime after this, Old Joe heard a knock at the door. And so he went to answer it, half expecting to be his neighbor and hoping to give him another piece of his mind. But it wasn't his neighbor, it was a young man standing on the porch. And he said that he was canvassing farms in the area if they might have work to do. He was a carpenter by trade. He had his tools in his knapsack, and Old Joe's code of hospitality would say you'd first offer a traveler food and warmth. So he brought him into the warm house, he sat him by the fire and fed him some breakfast and then some coffee. And having taken the measure of the man, he said, "Yes, I think I do have some work for you." So he said, "Come with me and I'll show you." And he took him into the kitchen. He said, "See through that window. There's the creek line, and then that house over yonder, that house there. That used to be my friend, but no longer. And I think I saw him last week running his team of horses up along the irrigation pond. I noticed a big rush of water coming through the creek. I have a sneaking suspicion he's trying to vandalize my land. And I'll tell you what I want you to do." He said, "I want you to build a fence so that when I look out my kitchen window, or if I'm out on the porch and I look across, I won't have to see that house or that man. I'm done with him." Well, the carpenter said, "If you've got the lumber, I've got the tools." And so Joe showed him where the lumber was. They started talking about, you know, what kind of fence it would be. And he said, "Look, I trust your judgment. You build whatever you like. I'm off to town. I'll be back by sundown." So the carpenter got to work. And he measured twice, cut once, got the hammer going, and he built. And during the work that was going very well, proceeded through the day, it was toward the end of the day that Old Joe came back. It was around sundown. He was coming back from town and coming around a grove of trees at the base of his yard. And when he saw what the carpenter had built, his eyes grew wide, his mouth dropped, and he saw that this carpenter had not built a fence. He'd built a bridge. And he went to look at it, and he saw it was excellent engineering, very solid construction, nice detail work. And as he was admiring the handicraft, who should come across that bridge but his neighbor? And he said, "Joe, you're a better man than I am. I could have never done this." He had his hand outstretched, and so as he was apologizing for what he said and did, Old Joe took his hand, and right there, clasping hands, they healed their friendship. And though Joe turned to the carpenter and he said, "Well, I do have other work to do." And the young man said, "Well, Joe, I think my work here is done, and I must be on my way, for I have other bridges to build." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.